Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope you are all having a smooth day so far. Oh my god, something super sick that I really want to share with y'all. So the other day, I had a student come up to me and she was like, I hope you have a great and exciting day today. And I was like, that is so sweet. We Aww. Should wish each other that more often. So if you are here listening, I am wishing you the same. I wish you a great and exciting day today and always.
That's so sweet.
Right? I'm sorry. Apenas me lo dijo ayer, so it's still fresh in my mind.
Today's case might be a lot to take in. You know, when we were doing the research, you know, nos rompió el corazón because this is a child abuse case and those are always harder to take in.
Those are honestly really hard. Y para ser sinceras, we started this case a while ago, but we literally had to pause the research for a bit because it just felt so heavy. And I think we had covered Lauren's case. Remember the little girl whose mom kept her in the closet? Mm-hmm. So we had just covered her case and we had just talked all about Lauren's case. Y después de ese caso, like, we jumped into this case and it, like, this one was requested. So we weren't too sure de qué se trataba. And as soon as we started doing this research, we're like, oh, nope. We cannot do these two back to back. Like, it was just, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And sometimes, like, you know, I think one time someone asked us, how do you guys do it? You know, like true crime content and researching and stuff. So we do like to take breaks. Mm-hmm. You know, like the cases that are more graphic and child abuse, like those cases take a lot, you know, and it does stick with you because, you know, we're reading these articles and some of these articles have the same information. So you're reading it again and again.
Yeah.
And then like, that's honestly like you go to bed and like, that's what you're thinking about. Like, how is it possible that, you know, there's people that are able to harm kids, right?
Yeah.
So we do like to take the step back when we need to. And this definitely was one where we had to pause mm-hmm. and, you know, take a break and come back to it.
And it's honestly, like, it's very devastating to realize how many of these cases are out there. Like, I think we've covered a handful of, you know, child abuse and child neglect cases on this podcast. And it's just so heartbreaking. Like, como dijo Steph, like, they don't deserve that.
Yeah. And, like, right now, you know, there's a movie that is, you know, being talked about, Sounds of Freedom. And this movie, I actually went to go see it with my mom mm-hmm. and she was kind of scared to go. She was like, oh, I don't know if I can take it. And I was like, Mom, like, let's just go. You know, like, you learn, we got to learn mm-hmm. and just see, you know, like, we just got to learn and, como se dice, like, be aware that this is also happening, right? Because, you know, you live your life day to day and you feel like it's not happening, but it is. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good movie. I recommend
it. I'm actually going to watch it this weekend.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's really sad, but yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for you and for anyone else. But it's a movie that is good to see. I think the biggest takeaway is like being aware, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, you know, my family and I were discussing it and we're like, oh yeah, but or like that can't happen. I was like, but it can, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you know, there's many ways kids can be kidnapped, right? Yeah. But I'm not going to spoil it. It was a little different in the movie. But you just never know. I think the biggest takeaway is just being aware of your surroundings, of your family, but also of, you know, people around you. So one of my examples was like, okay, you're at an airport and you're with your family or whatever. You're fine. But just being aware, who else is around you? Does a kid look uncomfortable or anything like that? Yeah. So I think, you know, just I think we can all hopefully be aware and try to catch something.
I definitely feel like being aware is the first step for sure. And I feel like once you become aware, como dices tú, you'll start seeing the signals. Mm-hmm. And by seeing the signals, you'll be able to help someone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. We're not going to spoil the movie. We just recommend it. And so now we can begin and start talking about this case. Today, we'll be talking about Omar E. Barella, a 9-year-old boy who was beaten to death by his mother and stepfather.
Y antes de empezar, we, again, would love to give you all a heads up porque vamos a hablar sobre temas sensibles. Before we begin, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. And again, we really want to emphasize this message for this specific episode.
And if you find it's best to skip this week's episode, please do what works best for you and your mental health. But as always, también, you know, vamos a hablar de estos temas con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
Okay. So as always, let's start with some background. So the person that requested the case gave us the name Omarion Varela. But when we were doing research, we saw the name Omari a lot more. So we're not sure if that's like a nickname or something. So in this episode, we will be calling him Omari, which is not like Omari, Omarion. It's the same person.
Mm-hmm. Omari tenía 9 años cuando todo esto pasó, which was in the year 2013. Él vivía en Albuquerque, New Mexico, con su mamá, Cynthia Valera, y con su padrastro, Steve Casaus. And it seems that Omari, you know, had a tough life as we were reading these articles. That's what we got, because apparently both his mom and stepdad were drug addicts. And so he was surrounded by that.
Omari iba a la escuela, bueno, se dice que Omari iba a la escuela todo golpeado, e incluso una vez llegó con un moretón en la cara. Y cuando le preguntaron que qué había pasado, he told his teacher that his mom physically abused him.
Al saber esto, la maestra hizo un reporte, and they called the Children, Youth, and Families Department of Possible Child Abuse. This was one of 9 reports that were made.
Can you imagine 9 reports were made on this particular student?
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular incident, though, the one like where he had a bruise on his face, a social worker did end up coming in and they did interview Omari and they examined Omari. And while they examined him, they found a big bruise all along one of his hips that went all the way down through his thigh.
At first, he said that his mom beat him with a belt, resulting in the bruise. Pero cuando le preguntaron otra vez, he was changing his story. And he said that he fell y casi quedó. Like, that's the reason why he got the bruise. Even though the story was changing, the teacher did make several reports. But, you know, as we've seen in other cases, that there's been report after report. Ya hemos visto que el sistema no sirve siempre.
I feel like a system that's so important has failed one too many times.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 months after this particular incident happened, on June of 2013, 911 received a phone call. Y al principio era difícil entender o comprender qué es lo que estaba pasando. The dispatcher heard a lot of yelling and she also heard a child crying. And 6 months later, in December 2013, el niño que hizo esa llamada al 911 murió en manos de su mamá y su padrastro.
So let's work backwards. Todo empieza con esa llamada to the dispatcher. And so the dispatcher said that there was a bunch of screaming and yelling and ruckus, and it was just hard to understand what was going on. They said how they heard Omari's mother, Cynthia, and stepfather, Steve, verbally abusing Omari.
The dispatcher heard things like, and we're quoting, by the way, she says that they heard him say like, I swear I'm going to have a nervous fucking breakdown mainly because of this little shithead right here. And he was also saying things like, you make everybody sick around you, Omari, everybody.
Like strong statements that shouldn't be said to anyone, not even a kid.
Yeah.
And in the phone call, they also heard, you know, these 2 adults telling Omari to stop crying. And that he was only crying for attention and that he should just get over the bruises. And at some point, you can hear that Steve even threatens to beat Omari. And when he says that, Omari is then heard crying out loud, begging his stepdad to stop hitting him.
Well, like, can you imagine? Like, this is making, like, my blood boil, mm-hmm. like, the anger. Like, I just can't. And lo último que se escuchó de esta llamada fue, and again, we quote, and you want me to be your dad? Fuck you. I ain't gonna be shit to you. Don't you even fucking look at me as your dad. End quote.
That's heartbreaking.
For a little boy yeah. to hear that. Like, can you imagine this little boy who's also just like super scared? And then obviously he's hurt. Está llorando. And the people that are supposed to be protecting him are telling him these things?
Yeah.
It makes me so mad.
Sorry. Yes, I know. I know. It makes me so mad because, like, no one, you don't even have to be blood related. You should never treat someone like that.
Mm-mm.
And it just makes me so mad that even how this person is capable of doing that. And then the biological mother allowing this.
Yeah.
Right?
I would never allow anyone to talk to my child that way.
That is insane. Insane.
And it's also the fact that Omari agarró el teléfono a llamar al 911. Like, that means that he himself felt unsafe. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the dispatcher and, like, you know, people who talk about the case kind of think that it was kind of like an accident, que se les marcó, like a butt dial type of thing. But no, I feel like Omari knew what he was doing. Like, Omari was trying to get help. Omari mm-hmm. was trying to, like, call out for mm-hmm. help, you know?
The dispatcher did send two officers over to their house to make sure everything was okay. Officer Jill Fagill and Scott McMorrow were the ones that were sent over to the residence. But, you know, as we read about this case, we did read that there was a lot of errors in the way that things were approached.
Yeah. For starters, the dispatcher les dijo que escucharan la llamada so that they could, you know, hear y kind of get the hint or I guess the gist of what was going on. Pero los oficiales nunca escucharon la llamada. Y también dijeron que ellos were questioning a la familia de Omari for about 2 hours. But according to their body cameras, aparece que ellos nomás estuvieron allí como por 15 minutos.
And it seems like they didn't really, you know, dig into it. Like, they just looked at it, you know, surface level, and they weren't really there to, like, see what was really going on. Cynthia and Steve told them how the call that was made to 911 was meant for some neighbors who were drunk and loud.
Trust us, we know. That makes no sense. Like, ¿de qué vecinos están hablando? En primer lugar, it's not like, I don't know, I think it's funny that she said the neighbors were the ones that were drunk and loud, but yet it was you in the phone call talking and yelling mm-hmm. to your son, not some other neighbors.
It doesn't even, like, relate.
Yeah, it doesn't.
At all.
No, that's why I was like, what? And then the fact that the officers ate that up and were like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. like, wake up. No, 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 no. The dispatcher, like, after hearing everything and, like, piecing it together, parece que todo lo que le estaban diciendo a Omari, you know, like, the reason why they were upset at Omari was because he had dropped food on the ground. So what does it have to do with neighbors? Drunk and loud neighbors.
Yeah. Clearly, it was just an excuse to, you know, get the cops out of there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they ate that up. Y se fueron. Entonces, al final del día, los oficiales declararon que todo estaba bien. And they even said that they looked like a nice family. And they left without making a report of the case, which was another mistake.
I don't know. How do they look like a nice family? Maybe no. If they had heard the conversations y todo lo que le estaban diciendo a Omari y todas las groserías, like, that would have been the last thing that should have came out of his mouth, to be honest. And it's just, I don't know, like, it's scary. Like, they should know. Caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're here. They're telling you, oh, todo está bien. But clearly, esta llamada demuestra que no, like, clearly there's a child crying, so do something about it, you know? So, Omari suffered being in the hands of his mother and stepfather. Y 6 meses después de que esa llamada fue hecha, in December 2013, Omari fue encontrado sin vida.
What they found was that Omari was stomped and beaten to death by his mother, Cynthia, and stepdad, Steve.
And not only that, but Omari's autopsy report was 30 pages long. It had all of Omari's injuries all over his body.
Omari was badly beaten that he had already lost 25% of his blood volume through internal bleeding. ¿Te imaginas? Like, that's
25%. Pobrecito, like, I can't even imagine of the pain, like, the physical pain that he was in. And I honestly look at his pictures and it breaks my heart. Like, my heart just feels so heavy. Like, he was just this little boy, so innocent, full of life. And le quitaron todo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, reading all these details and, like, learning about how he was living, it just breaks my heart que Omari no conoció el amor de sus papás, de su mamá. Like, he didn't know what a loving home was.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, his mom, Cynthia, was, of course, arrested on charges of child abuse leading to death. Y ella dice que ella no lo quería matar, que fue un accidente porque she, and we quote, kicked him the wrong way.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, like, hey, well, I'm so sorry. I kicked my kid. No.
You don't kick someone the wrong way. You don't, way.
No.
Especially there's, like, so much history there and, like, reports made. No, that's not an accident.
honestly, like, Cynthia caused pain to her own child for who knows how long. No sabemos por qué es lo que estuvo viviendo Omari. But the fact that there was, like, 9 reports made significa que estaba pasando seguido. And it's unfair and it's disgusting what he had to go through and what they did to him. Cynthia had been arrested 20 times in the last 13 years. So this woman definitely had a history. Her charges included possessions of meth and prostitution.
Steve was also arrested and he is facing 6 counts of child abuse leading to the death of his stepson. And along with that, he's also facing drug charges during an undercover police operation.
And this part was crazy to read about because apparently while there is an operation going along, which by the way has nothing to do with Omari's case, like it overlaps. But apparently during this operation, Steve y su hija de 22 años estaban tratando de comprar drogas de una señora. E incluso también le querían comprar su niña de 2 años.
Crazy.
They're trying to buy a child.
Yeah, that is just, yeah.
It's disturbing.
It's very much disturbing. Lo bueno que this was just, you know, an operation. Y, you know, they weren't able to, you know, purchase these drugs or this, you know, 2-year-old girl.
Yeah. That's crazy. And honestly, the fact that you're willing to buy a child, that just, you're just a monster, mm-hmm. you know? Cynthia y Steve no tienen corazón. Omari no se merecía vivir por lo que él vivió. And it's so frustrating to see how the system failed him.
Just the way the system has failed many others, the system has to remember que caras vemos, corazones no sabemos, and that it is worth asking more questions.
Yeah, digging in a little deeper.
Digging in a little more and figuring it out and making sure, because, you know, the truth is that we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And if a child is coming to a school with bruises, saying his parents abuse him and changing up the story, mm-hmm. I think it's important to look into it.
I don't think, I mean, like, obviously I work at a school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, at least I would like to think I've never been in the situation where mm-hmm. I had to call like CPS or where I have my assumptions que algo está pasando al niño. But I would like to think I would be able to identify the difference between a bruise that comes from a fall, mm-hmm. like an innocent, you know, fall that you're playing, or if it comes from something deeper, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like the fact that Omari had already made comments diciendo que sus papás lo abusaban, diciendo que su mamá le pegaba, like, you know, just subtle hints. I feel like I, like, personally just would not be able to let my student go without getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I think it's tough as a teacher because right now, as you were saying, that in all the cases that we've talked about child abuse, it's always like teachers making reports, right?
Yeah.
It is a lot of people that have to,
yeah.
you know, work through this file or case, yeah. but like...
Well, I mean, like with the first incident, right, where he had the bruise on his face, Omari, the fact that they brought a social worker mm-hmm. and the social worker was interviewing and his first story is telling you that his mom beat him with a belt. Also, like, I don't know, like, I guess it's like a difference, right? People have like different parenting and stuff, but there's a difference between like una nalgadita and a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a difference. And the fact that he called it abuse and the fact that he's constantly coming with all of these bruises,
mm-hmm.
it's not just a simple spanking, you know? It's like there's a lot more to it. And the fact that this person, like the social worker, was so okay with him changing his story and didn't question it again and just accepted the second story, which was like the easy way out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, yeah, nothing's happening. Todo está bien, será caso, and this and that. Like, why is there 2 different stories and why did he come up with the first one? And why is there 9 reports being done on this kid?
I think there's a whole discussion that needs to be made or like the system needs to change too, because as you're saying that too, I think in the one of the cases that we talked about, we learned that social workers are overworked mm-hmm. and that, you know, they have so many cases on, you know, one person. But I don't know. We need like a whole system revamp.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that is also a system that doesn't have much resources,
mm-hmm.
you know, which sucks because it's like a really important one.
Yes, it is. Children's lives are yeah. at stake. So
and it's like the children who are innocent and kind of unable to defend themselves mm-hmm. and protect themselves, you know, so it just sucks. And it's really sad.
Yeah. That's all that we have for this week's episode. I know it's a tough one to hear when it's about a kid mm-hmm. and just learning all these gruesome details and just overall, it's like such a hard case to take in.
Yeah.
So if you made it through the episode, make sure you take some time for yourself, do some self-care or anything that you need.
And yeah, if you have any little ones, go hug them real tight.
I know.
You know, give them an extra treat.
But yeah, thank you for listening to this week's episode, and we'll see y'all next week.